This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
I just heard that Krispy Kreme story, and I'm craving Krispy Kreme donuts. Well, that'll have to wait for an hour. I've got a couple of questions for you. First, is Trump's evangelical support slipping? Major Ryder says that's happening. We're going to talk about it later in the program. And related, are some American Catholics building an alliance of hate with Trump evangelicals? A Vatican-vetted journal says so. This is Jerry Johnson, not Tony Perkins. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. You are listening to Washington Watch. Welcome to the program. But the question we're going to talk about right now is this. Do you use Google, Facebook? Do you tweet? Do you use YouTube, Apple, the App Store? Are they biased? Are they biased as businesses? Are they biased as platforms? One writer has written, Google burns a heretic. Oh, that's Mona Charon. Another writer has written today, our free speech culture is slipping away. That writer is David French. He's a senior writer for the National Review, a senior fellow at the National Review Institute. He's an attorney concentrating in constitutional law. David French, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
David, tell us, what happened at Google? What did the heretics say? Why is this important?
Yeah, so essentially what happened at Google is an employee wrote a lengthy memo, about 10 pages, that said, this is sort of a brief summary of it, but because Google is sort of an ideological monoculture, it's coming from the left, there's only left ideas about gender and gender balances at Google, and those left ideas keep explaining gender imbalances in terms of discrimination. In other words, that there are fewer women than men programmers because of discrimination. And he said, in reality, there's fewer women than men programmers because women are less interested in being programmers than men. That there are differences between men and women tend to choose this profession less. And he didn't say that, you know, any given individual woman was an inferior programmer to any given individual man. He was talking about on average.
Uh-huh.
And so what essentially he did is then said, look, let's figure out other ways to bring more women into Google that don't involve discrimination. In other words, don't involve granting preferences to women. And Google went about proving his point that it was an ideological monoculture by firing him for making a series of statements. I don't agree with 100% of his memo, but it was
right.
A reasonably written memo, and Google fired him.
And conservatives should know. This man is really no right-wing conservatives. His name's James Damore, and you might agree or disagree with some of his arguments, some of his conclusions, but the point is that should be a topic of discussion and debate, you're saying. And,
right.
But Google would have none of that.
Right. And you know, look, let's be really clear here. This is not a First Amendment issue. The First Amendment protects you from the government.
Yes.
Google isn't the government. Google's just an enormously powerful multinational company.
Right, right.
And the point that I was raising, though, however, is that free speech depends on a culture that respects open debate and free inquiry. And increasingly, we're getting to a point where universities and at major corporations that employ, you know, collectively millions upon millions of people, Google's, your Apple's, your Disney's, you just can go down the line. Many, many, many corporations are now adapting a very progressive political worldview.
Well, let's stop there because I think it's important. We've got two issues. One is this is a business question. It's not particularly a government question because the First Amendment, you're right, is about the government censoring free speech, so to speak. Now, this is a business. But the, another question is, it's this business. It's the business of information, the business of search engines. So let's cover that first point first, though, because your article really talks about that. You mentioned actually the actress Lena Dunham. But what you're saying is on the university campus, in the business world, the Hollywood culture, there is right now a burn the heretics mentality, essentially. Intolerance in the name of tolerance. Tell our listeners about the Lena Dunham.
So Lena That's Dunham, for those who don't know, is a star of an HBO series called Girls, very famous supporter of Hillary Clinton and Planned Parenthood. And she tweeted at American Airlines that she overheard two American Airlines flight attendants having a conversation about transgender issues. Now, they were just talking amongst themselves. They weren't addressing the passengers. And she overheard them saying some things that she said were transphobic. In other words, that, you know, they didn't want to have a transgender child, for example. And so she tweeted at American Airlines, and American Airlines, rather than saying, thank you for your concern, Lena, but we don't police the private conversations of our employees, said we're going to launch an investigation. Think of how chilling that is. Imagine that, say, you and I worked for American Airlines, and we're talking about maybe that we'd been to a Bible study, and we're talking about the contents of that Bible study, and someone who overheard it didn't like what we were saying and accused us of religious intolerance. Would we then be investigated by our company? It's extremely chilling. And so the point that I make is pretty simple. Look, we don't have a culture that respects free speech. If huge and powerful institutions are essentially saying, well, one whole side of the political spectrum doesn't have the same ability to speak as another side of the political spectrum, that there are fewer economic opportunities available to you if you are an outspoken, say, conservative compared to someone who's outspokenly liberal, that your choice is to speak up and leave or shut up and stay, whereas the other side gets to speak up and stay.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Jerry Johnson. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. We're talking to David French. He's written a piece about the firing at Google of James Damore. And ironically, James Damore accused Google of silencing conservative opinions or arguments. Well, and they demonstrated that by firing him. David, that's one phenomenon that you've nailed, which is, you know, this is throughout the business world, particularly Silicon Valley. You'll remember Mozilla Firefox did sort of a witch hunt and got rid of their guy, you know, a couple of years ago, found out he had given to a conservative marriage political campaign. So that's one side of this. But the other side of it is, and I want to be very clear to reinforce what you said, this isn't strictly a First Amendment issue, because it's not the government restricting free speech, but the new reality of new media, digital media, online platforms. I mean, we're using Facebook and Google and Twitter and Apple products like people used to use the telephone, essentially. And there's this expectation that this is a public square. This isn't just any business. It's the business of communication. I mean, the whole idea of a search engine is you type in a word and you get some kind of unbiased, pure algorithm that would give you an unfiltered result. And when the gatekeepers are showing this kind of bias, we probably shouldn't be surprised that we have seen instances of platform bias. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think they've shown bias combined with intolerance. And Google obviously has a point of view that it expresses even through the very simple interface of its search engine. Now, I'm not aware of compelling evidence of bias manifesting itself in the Google search results, although, you know, nothing would surprise me. But people need to be very clear that the lines of modern communication online are in progressive hands. And so an enormous amount of communication engaged in by Christians, for example, depends on the goodwill of these progressive corporations. It depends, in essence, your communication exists at their permission. And this is something very important for people to understand. And therefore, it's very, very important for us to engage with these companies. And very important, you know, absent some, you know, super entrepreneur from a different point of view constructing alternative and having them catch fire on the scale of billions of people, constructing the alternative platforms, it's very important to try to hold these companies to account. And it's very important to try to diversify these companies and make sure they don't become complete and total ideological monocultures.
Yeah, the culture of intolerance in the name of tolerance can bleed over from the business to the platform. And callers, we want you to join in. The number is 866-372-7234. Do you use Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Apple, the App Store? In fact, in the next segment, we're going to give you specific examples of censorship. NRB has a project called the John Milton Project. We've been documenting this platform censorship. Our guest right now is David French. Again, the number is 866-372-7234. What do you think about this culture of intolerance in the name of tolerance? David, do you remember during the election, there were several articles that, and people, you can Google this, it's ironically, Google manipulating search results. And what you'll see is about 12 stories relating to a favoring of Hillary Clinton in the last campaign. It's very interesting. And from some very mainstream sites like the Wall Street Journal and so forth, Financial Times and so forth, British newspapers. And as you look further, you'll see the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, wanted to sue Google for manipulating results to favor its products over others. And the Wall Street Journal wrote about this as well. So it seems to me it's very hard for this culture of censorship to not bleed over into the platform, David.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think that it can bleed over the platform when you have an ideological monoculture.
Yeah.
You can have it bleed into the platform even if they're not intending it to, because there's no one else in the room to raise their hand and say, oh, if we do this, it will bias the platform in this way.
If you're an echo chamber, you don't realize that you're not hearing the other voices at all.
Right. I mean, there's that old saying, the fish doesn't even know it's wet.
Yeah. David, we got to go. I'm sorry we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for writing this piece. And we hope to talk to you again. Thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, folks, the number is 866-372-7234. Has something on your Facebook page been scrubbed? Well, it's happened to Mike Huckabee. It's happened to Todd Starnes. It's happened to a lot of conservative and Christian leaders. And we're going to go through those examples in the next few minutes. And again, the number is 866-372-7234. We got four callers waiting already. And I'm going to give you specific examples of YouTube, Facebook, GoFundMe, Twitter, Apple, all engaging in the censorship of ideas. This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website twholyland.com for more information. twholyland.com. or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. This week, we're partnering with Revival Fires International to give away thousands of Truth for Youth Bibles. You can have one if you promise to pass it on to a student that you suspect doesn't know Christ.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
It's like, man, I really like the Truth for Youth Bible. How do I get to your church?
Each Bible consists of the entire New Testament, along with 100 pages of comics dealing with the truth about issues of moral concern.
I read some of the comics and they really touched my heart.
Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to give to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. They're even available in Spanish. Visit revivalfires.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. Let's take the message of the gospel to America's youth.
Google unveils a new slogan. That's the headline in the Babylon Bee. What is that slogan? War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. The story says that slogan is inspired by the Google founder's favorite book, 1984. Of course, this is all an Orwellian spoof, a satire. He went on to say, in the quote, "We want our new slogan to remind everyone that the company is watching you and thought crimes will not be tolerated." Well, people are making fun of Google, but we might ought to be alarmed by the fact that one of their employees wrote an expose of really the silencing of conservative opinions at Google. And he was summarily fired and dismissed, really illustrating his point all along. What do you think of this? What do you think about Facebook and Twitter censoring conservative content, burying conservative content? We've got Richard on the line. Richard, thank you for calling. What's your question? What's your view?
Yes, sir. I just had a quick comment, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response. You're talking about, in essence, holding companies like Google accountable for promoting a progressive ideology or a progressive platform. What are your thoughts on companies like Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A promoting a conservative platform? And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
You know, that's a great question. And that's why I think it was very important that David French and I affirmed this from the start, said, look, this isn't about the government. So it's not strictly a First Amendment issue. The government is that that party in the First Amendment that cannot censor speech. Obviously, businesses can do it. And I think the difference is Hobby Lobby is not in the information business. Chick-fil-A is not in the search engine business. And to me, that's one of the main differences. Chick-fil-A makes sandwiches. Hobby Lobby makes craft products. And the founders were Christian. They come out of a Judeo-Christian culture and context, and their company somewhat reflects that in many ways. Although, as I understand it, both companies, are pretty open in terms of employees having different political views. But this is, I think, a different level of ideological advocacy. I mean, I don't see Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A advocating to the point of censorship and dismissal the way that you see Google advocating to the point of censorship and dismissal. Furthermore, again, Google's supposed to be in the business of information, of searching, finding facts. And, that should be neutral. It should be objective. There should be a kind of a scientific quality to the thing. So to me, that's the difference. Chris, on the line from Texas. Chris, you're on the air.
Was recently removed from a website called At Home. Me and several other members were talking about the political things going on, asking, if the person, supported transgender, don't want to bring all that up. But the moderators, seeing the very civil discussion that we were having, decided that it was not what they wanted to see on the At Home website.
Right.
And they deleted the entire content of our discussion, and they banned all of us.
Wow.
That were talking about it. We did get a chance to share our phone numbers so we could talk to each other on the phone, but still, they're saying that, they don't allow this, but yet First Amendment rights, we were having a very calm discussion about this and ended up getting banned.
So that's kind of like being unfriended by the organization or something. I mean, they totally. And so, folks, I'm sure many of you have been on Facebook and somebody has unfriended you or defriended you because of something you've said or done. But it's another thing when the service provider or the platform shuts you out, shuns you, and you're no longer a person. In fact, the Babylon Bee in their article went on to write, Google is watching you and has the ability to turn you into an unperson. Well, that's kind of what happened to Chris. Chris, thank you for calling. We've got Daniel on the line. Daniel, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for everything you guys do, and hopefully one day I can be part of the team. There's more stuff going on with Google than you don't know. I was actually involved in a case where I unfortunately looked at some illegal content, and when I was asked where I, who gave me the links to get to the content, I said, well, it came from Google. And when they did their investigation, this came out and it was the truth, and I was forced to rewrite some documents before I went to court so they would be averted and not have to investigate this.
Wow.
I am telling you now that if I had a list of hard or direct links and taped them to my door, or anybody did that, that you would have the feds or the state at your door saying you can't do this. Now, Google has this direct and hard links to illegal content in their database and their cache. So I've been in IT for 30-plus years, so I'm very familiar with all of this.
Thanks.
And I will tell you that...
Thanks, yeah. Daniel. We've got to move on. What I want to do is call attention to the fact that Google has fired this employee, again, for really conservative kinds of commentary. If you want to see examples of what Facebook, YouTube, GoFundMe, Twitter, Apple have done, censoring Todd Starnes, Mike Huckabee, Center for Security Policy, go to this website. It's nrb.org/JMP. nrb.org/JMP. This is NRB's John Milton Project. We have documented where Facebook has censored Colonel Alan West, Mike Huckabee, Chuck Colson, Arlene's Flowers. I mean, they've just taken people off of these platforms. There's a clear pattern. We've documented it all nrb.org/JMP. This is Jerry Johnson for Washington Watch. I'll be right back.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, as we look at the markets to see where we're headed and where we have been this week, one thing is apparent: that U.S. Treasury bills seem to be seeing a bit of an increase in buyers. That generally means there's a little bit of a flight to safety going on. This, of course, pushes the yield a little bit lower when we start to see buyers come in. On Tuesday, I commented how odd it was that there wasn't more buyers coming into Treasuries, and here we are seeing it a little bit later in the week. Here is some bad news. Household debt. This is household debt. You might remember a couple of days ago I talked about credit card debt. That is an all-time high for the United States of America, topping where it was in 2008. Well, guess what? Household debt. Household debt includes mortgages, any kind of revolving debt, that would be credit cards and other revolving debt like student loans and car loans, has hit an all-time high. This would be a borrowing record. It is now sitting at $12.7 trillion. That's according to the Federal Reserve of New York. That's not good news. That is more than the size of China's economy and four times the size of Germany's economy.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Okay, folks, is Trump's support slipping among evangelicals? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We'll be asking you to call in. The number is 866-372-7234. But right now, another question. Are some American Catholics building an alliance of hate with Trump evangelicals? A Vatican-vetted document, a journal, claims just that. And happily, one evangelical has responded and asked the Pope to meet with evangelicals to discuss this matter. He's an evangelical advisor to President Trump, and he's a board member with the NAE, the National Association of Evangelicals. Johnny Moore is the man who wrote this letter. He's the founder and CEO of the Kairos Company. He's a friend. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Johnny, tell us about this document and really how you feel about it, what you're thinking, your reaction, what you're asking the Vatican to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This story sort of flew by the evangelical world. It was noticed by the Catholic community, but it sort of missed, you know, all of us. But a couple of weeks ago, in a journal that's published on a regular basis by the Vatican, the editor of the journal and another author, co-author, both of which are close to the Pope, wrote an article that said that evangelicals and Catholics in the United States are in an ecumenism of hate. You know, that was the way they described the relationship. And in fact, Jerry, it went even further than that. It raised alarm about increasing, quote, radicalization within this context. It made comparisons to ISIS, even, in the article.
Wow.
ISIS, of all people. You know, and one thing that I noticed that, you know, was particularly terrible to me is that phrase, ecumenism of hate, was a phrase repurposed. You know, Pope Francis, in the middle of the ISIS crisis in Iraq and Syria, with so many Christians were dying and dying in Africa and other places, Pope Francis said, in a statement of unity, he said, yeah, there's an ecumenism of blood around the world now.
Where that was
more
nice.
Christians are getting together, unified. And so to take that phrase,
yeah,
to repurpose it, to use it to divide the church, I mean, it was a really horrific thing. And so, you know, I decided that I would just write to the Pope himself and say, hey, let's sit down, let's talk about this. You know, rather than being offended, let's make peace. And
have you had an answer yet?
Make peace.
Are you getting any answers yet?
No. But I'm hoping. I got my fingers crossed.
That may take the mail a few days to get over there. So, yeah. Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. You also wrote a piece for Fox News, which folks could go to the foxnews.com opinion site and see it, because often if you're conservative or labeled on the right or evangelical, one of the accusations is we want a theocracy, we want a theocratic state. And the writers of this piece, you know, said, you know, the Catholics here in America are joining these evangelicals and they want a hate theocratic state. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, it's incredibly ironic. They were writing from a theocratic state. That's what the Vatican
is. Yes, that's right.
It's a
church state. Yeah.
It is a church state, a legitimate church state. And by the way, that's not what we want in the United States of America. We just want our religious liberty. You know, we just want the rights of the unborn. You know, we by the way, with Catholics, have worked together in a historic way for 30 years, and we've achieved unbelievable things on those issues. We now have the most pro-life generation since Roe. We've been fighting together on religious liberty every single day. We now are in the best type of situation when it comes to religious liberty. And then you go back, you know, even you go back a few decades, and it was Catholic and evangelical action united with other people, you know, in this country that helped bring down the Berlin Wall, that expedited the fall of communism. Like, I think actually in the Vatican, you know, they ought to appreciate the amazing relationship that Catholics and evangelicals have in this country. Mm. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons why I asked for a meeting, because I just cannot believe that these people actually believe this. I mean, there just has to be a lack of understanding. It doesn't make any sense at all unless they're totally, totally delusional. And it certainly doesn't reflect, you know, things the Pope has said in the past. And so, you know, I offered to go over there with a half dozen, you know, of our most significant denominational leaders and most influential evangelicals in this country, sit down, let's have a conversation. And then when we do disagree, because we will disagree sometimes, we can disagree as friends, you know. So we'll see if we have the opportunity to do so.
Thank you so much, Johnny Moore, CEO of the Kairos Company. Johnny, thank you for your work and for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. That's amazing. So some Catholic writers saying, watch out, American Catholics, don't join the alliance of hate with Trump evangelicals. Well, we're going to talk about Trump and evangelicals for the rest of the program. In fact, the number is 866-372-7234. This is my question. Are you an evangelical? Did you vote for Trump? Are you happy that you voted for Trump, and why? Or did you vote for Trump and you... you have regrets. You have second thoughts now. Why? We're going to talk about an article that just came out by Mark Silk. The title is Trump's Evangelical Support is Slipping. Do you believe that? Again, the number is 866-372-7234. What do you think about Trump's appointments? What do you think about Trump's policies? What do you think about Trump's tweets? What do you think about what Trump is saying and doing? Are you pleased if you voted for him? Do you wish that you hadn't? Or perhaps you didn't vote for him and you wish that you had? The number is 866-372-7234. We're going to talk with Pastor Robert Jeffress later in the program. And he supported him early on. What does he think now? It's Jerry Johnson for Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
With a Republican president in office, we should be confident that our religious liberties are secure, right? Well, think again. As violations of religious liberty continue to occur in our military, FRC recognized the need to account for anti-religious actions taken by armed forces and the Veterans Administration. In just one recent example, the West Point's football team incurred the wrath of the anti-religious left when they prayed after a win, even though the prayer was completely voluntary and supported by the players themselves. Unfortunately, this situation is one of the many similar incidents in recent years. Only time will tell how the Trump administration will deal with attacks against religious liberty. Learn more about how our men and women in uniform are encountering difficulty in expressing their faith. Go to frc.org/danger for real stories of how our military service members are fighting for the very rights that thousands of their predecessors fought and died for on the battlefield.
I want to say congratulations to the American Family Association on 40 years of ministry.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council.
I cannot imagine what America would look like had the American Family Association not been here. I greatly appreciate Don Wildman's vision and his son Tim for carrying that vision forward. So join me in congratulating them on 40 years of ministry, serving the Lord, and serving America.
Volunteering with Operation Christmas Child, I feel like I'm fulfilling a calling.
I've never been on a mission trip, and I don't know if I ever will, but this is my opportunity to spread the gospel.
Volunteering with Operation Christmas Child directly connects you with God's global purposes. Find out how you can invest your skills and passion as part of the year-round volunteer team with Operation Christmas Child. Learn more or apply at samaritanspurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Wow, that's a long time for the Wildmans. I'm talking about Tim Wildman and his father, Don Wildman, running the American Family Association, AFR Radio. They're members of NRB. Congratulations to you. And by the way, Don Wildman won the, he earned it the old-fashioned way, the Hall of Fame Award at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters. And this is Jerry Johnson, president of NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, filling in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, but we love AFA and AFR, and we do want to congratulate them on 40 years of making a difference. They're truly salt and light, as Jesus said. And by the way, if you want to see those documented examples of internet censorship by Facebook and Google and YouTube and GoFundMe and Apple, again, go to nrb.org/JMP for John Milton Project, nrb.org. We stand at NRB for the First Amendment, and our purpose is to be at NRB for the First Amendment what the NRA has been to the Second Amendment. So if you want internet freedom, you need to join NRB. If you're a YouTuber, if you're blogging or podcasting, look at nrb.org. We are the place for you. Well, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is certainly in the news. President Trump, every day with his tweets, and of course, just by nature of the office of the presidency, you know, you command attention, but in a unique way he does, and people are talking about it. I just mentioned earlier that the Vatican vetted journal article said that American Catholics are building an alliance of hate with Trump evangelicals, and it warned them not to do that. And one writer, Mark Silk, has just written that Trump support among evangelicals is slipping. So I thought I would just put it to you. And Pastor Robert Jeffress will join us in a few minutes. But if you voted for Trump, are you glad and why? Or do you regret it and why? We're going to go straight to callers right now. Bonnie is on the line from Texas. Bonnie, thank you for calling. What's your view?
Well, sir, I just want to thank you for taking my call, and I think President Trump is doing a great job
I think a lot of propaganda is being generated
yes.
continuously since the election. I think his approval rating is much higher than anybody's probably going to broadcast out there. I think he's doing a great job. I like the fact that he's not a career politician. And I do believe that these deep state politicians need to be gotten out. I'm all for term
limits. Drain the swamp. All right, Bonnie. Thank you for calling. We're going to move on. I want these to be pretty quick, but already the score is 1-0 right now in favor of President Trump. Bonnie says, you know, he needs to drain the swamp. It looks like we got Sergey on from Missouri. Thank you for calling. What's your view?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I voted for Trump. And what I think is a lot of people get confused about on Christians is, you know, Trump has never professed to be a Christian, correct?
Well, I think loosely he may have professed it, but it has certainly not been his emphasis. He's not gone around talking about, I am a Christian or I've professed to be born again. I think he associates with a lot of Christian leaders and he embraces a lot of Christian values, maybe not uniformly, but in any case, I don't think he's been wearing his faith on his sleeve, if that's your question, Sergey.
No, and I'm just saying I agree with you. And my point is when I spoke with a lot of Christians when the election time was, they said, we can't vote for him because he's not going to uphold Christian values. But he never professed to be, but he's actually doing a lot better than several of the last administrations have ever done in this country.
Well, let's just stop there, Sergey, because we don't have a lot of time, but I want to affirm what you're saying. It's one thing when Jimmy Carter says, I'm a born-again president, and he gives a pretty good testimony of Jesus and salvation, but then he's for abortion, and his cabinet is awful. And what you see with Mr. Trump is actually he's appointed a pro-life Supreme Court justice, nominated, approved, on the bench now, Gorsuch. And you look at somebody like Secretary Price at Health and Human Services, pro-life, hiring pro-life workers underneath him. So in terms of his policy, his policies are reflective of the Judeo-Christian view, particularly on the sanctity of human life. We've got Xavier on the line from Kansas. What's your view?
Well, I'm a pretty liberal guy. Actually, I'm atheist or a reformed believer.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Well, I listen to the program occasionally from time to time, but I did not vote for Trump. But to your question about whether support for Trump is slipping or declining, I don't think so. I think a lot of people, whether they voted for him or not, have a hard time maybe recognizing where they made a mistake. So I think people are going to be stubborn and stick to their support for him.
Well, thank you for calling, Xavier, and I appreciate you listening to Washington Watch, even though you might not agree. And even more so, I suggest, you know, reading the Gospel of John. That's a tremendous book when you're thinking, searching, asking questions. It's a book which is written specifically so that people might know that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior, and that believing you might have life in His name. But I am glad you called. We've got Richard on the line. Richard, what's your view?
Yes, I grew up in the church. However, and for a few years there, I quit going, and I started to go back. Anyway, I started out as a cruise supporter, and
yep.
After a while, I started supporting Trump.
And are you happy?
Yes, I am extremely happy with what he has done so far.
All right, so the score is 3-0 for those who voted for President Trump right now, that they voted for him and they're happy. And we had one fellow who did not vote for him but thinks his support has not waned. So this article by Mark Silt so far is not holding up too well, just anecdotally on Washington Watch, where he says evangelical support is slipping. And with us now on the line, we have an NRB member, Dr. Robert Jeffress, who's the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. And actually, he was one of the first pastors in America to support President Trump and especially to get traction. And, you know, he participated in many of the inaugural events, and it was just recently in the White House with the president for that prayer session that you saw. And Dr. Jeffress, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Jerry.
Listen, you've been on the inside and the outside here and there, and we were just responding to an article that said Trump's support among evangelicals might be slipping. We were responding to this document that came out of the Vatican, essentially, where they were warning American Catholics not to build an alliance of hate with Trump evangelicals. And I've been asking callers who supported the president, you know, do you regret it or do you feel like he's doing a good job? So I want to put it to you. How are you feeling? How do you score the president right now? Why would you give him that score?
Look, I would give him a 10 out of 10, maybe an 11 out of 10.
That's pretty strong.
And look, and here's the reason.
And why, yeah.
He's exactly doing what he's promised to do. I mean, first of all, just think about it. Early in his term, appointing Justice Gorsuch to the Supreme Court,
that's good.
He got a Supreme Court nominee confirmed quicker than any president in the last 120 years, I believe it is. He's also fulfilled his pledge on other judicial nominations. Look, he is absolutely appointing all of these judges, or at least nominating them to the federal judgeship. You know who's blocking it? Not the Democrats. It is the Senate Judiciary Committee. Chuck Grassley that is holding up these nominees because of these arcane Senate rules. And I think people are sick and tired of the Senate trying to stonewall what President Trump is trying to do. Deregulation. Protecting our borders. You know, immigration, as you well know, is down. Illegal immigration is down significantly.
Yep.
And I love the way he's handling this North Korea crisis. I'm telling you, unlike his predecessor, when Donald Trump draws a red line, he's not going to erase it, move it, or back away from it. So, yeah, Jerry, I couldn't be more thrilled with the president's performance.
Let me ask you a follow-up question on that, because somebody just brought up previous presidents and, you know, Trump not sort of wearing his faith on his sleeve, whereas Jimmy Carter claimed to be born again, seemed to have an evangelical testimony, but his appointments, you know, and his policies didn't reflect the Judaism. I guess my question for you is this, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I am a Jesus evangelical, a born again Christian, but it's contrast that with, you know, doing sort of the biblical job of a national leader, a government leader, a Romans 13 leader. What is the profile for a national leader according to Scripture?
Well, I think we need to vote for somebody who is going to lead according to biblical principles. And, you know, you mentioned this this Catholic document. You know, these people who surround the Pope and the Pope himself have been relentless in their criticism of Donald Trump, and yet Catholics voted for Trump by 54%. And, you know, Jerry, you know this well. In this election, there was only one pro-life and pro-religious liberty candidate, and his name wasn't Hillary Clinton. And, I mean, I cannot understand the antipathy some of these Catholic hierarchy members have. When, you know, remember the leaked emails from the Clinton campaign? It showed that the Clinton campaign was disparaging Catholics. They were absolutely even trying to change Catholic doctrine. And I think that the Catholic hierarchy needs to get in line with where the Catholic people are, and that is they are conservative and they supported by a majority Donald Trump.
Look, I have another question for you. There's that old slogan, personnel is policy.
Yes.
And you've mentioned Gorsuch, the Supreme Court Justice, which was so important. But I'm thinking of the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Price, who is pro-life and who's made, you know, excellent under-appointments like Charmaine Yost and so forth. You've got Scott Pruitt at EPA, who's an evangelical Christian. You've got Rick Perry, Jeff Sessions, Pompeo at the CIA. Here's my question for you. We all love and respect President Reagan. Bush 1 and Bush 2, we think about them, you know, favorably often as conservatives or Christians. But do you think I'm accurate in this statement that this is the most conservative cabinet, you know, in 30, 35 years, including Reagan, Bush 1 and 2? What do you think of that?
I think there is no doubt about it. I just finished this book, and I'd recommend it to everybody, The Gatekeepers, about the former chiefs of staff of the White House. And about the cabinets of these former presidents, I don't think there has ever been a cabinet that has had so many conservative Christians in it as this one. And they meet weekly to study the Bible and to pray together.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing that a secular candidate like Donald Trump has really put together one of the most Christian cabinets in history. And I'm telling you, when you walk through the West Wing and you talk to these personnel, they say there is a Christian atmosphere here. And I think we ought to all be comforted and encouraged by that and thank President Trump for that. This didn't happen by accident. President Trump loves evangelical Christians.
You know, that's clear because I know in the past, whether it's Reagan's or the Bush's, you would see once or twice a year a group of evangelicals, you know, around the West Wing here or there. But I would say this as well. Probably you've already had more evangelical presence, pastoral presence in the White House in 6 months than the entire presidency of these other three Republican presidents. I mean, this is a regular occurrence, not just once or twice a year, constant flow in and out of evangelical leaders. I think that's a good thing.
It is. And Jerry, you know, he said at our event last month at the Kennedy Center, he stood before our group there and said, as long as I am president, you will never have to choose between practicing your faith and obeying the law. Did you ever hear George W. Bush say that or Ronald Reagan say that? I never heard it said. I mean, this president has done more to advocate for religious liberty than any president in history.
Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, a member of NRB, National Religious Broadcasters. Thank you, Dr. Jeffress, for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, so we're talking about the presidency, and I think this is so important. The president is not a pastor. The president is a minister, but a minister of the sword, according to Romans 13. Not a minister of the gospel. He's a minister of justice. And I think that's so important because sometimes Christians or even non-Christians say, well, look at this character. Look at this statement. Look at this from the past. Look at this attitude. That's not a Christian attitude. Well, I wish everything was a Christian attitude and everything was a Christian statement and all the past actions were Christian, you know, ethically and morally. But that's not the job of a president of the United States. It's a job of justice, a job of keeping us safe. And Romans 13 is clear that government leaders, policemen, mayors, not just presidents, judges, they're ministers of God for justice to protect us from evildoers. You know, this is God's accommodation, really, for sin. That is, because of the fall and because of sin, we need protection. We need protection from the evildoers, from the evil results. And that is God's protection, government. The gospel, that's the good news, that Christ died for our sins and rose again. That's the salvation from sin, the forgiveness of sin. And if you've never turned to Jesus, know that He died for your sins and rose again. Look to Him. Believe in Him. This is Jerry Johnson for Washington Watch. Thank you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.